Iowa football is near and dear to my heart, just as it is for so many people across this great nation. In my time since being a part of the Iowa community, I've had the chance to meet and get to know so many great men that have worn the black and gold and share in my love for this team. The fact of the matter is that I bleed black and gold, and I'm bringing to you the stories of the men that have the same blood coursing through their veins. I'm Colin Cole, and this is Legends of Kinnick.
Welcome back, Hawk fans, to another episode of Legends of Kinnick. I'm your host, Colin Cole, and I have the opportunity of going out and interviewing various former Hawkeyes, former members of the Black and Gold that have done wondrous things on the field, done wondrous things within the Iowa community, and gone on to do wondrous things with their lives and careers post-Hawkeye games and post-Hawkeye experience. So today, I want to welcome another great guest. My next guest came to Iowa as a product out of Fort Worth, Texas, where he attended Eastern Hills High School. He decided on the University of Iowa and stepped on campus as a 6'4", three-star prospect that stepped in and contributed right away as a part of Iowa's 2002 Big Ten Championship team. That season, he got his feet wet, catching 14 passes for 159 yards and a touchdown. This was limited in seeing playing time action behind veterans such as C.J. Jones, Mo Brown, Ed Hinkle, and Ramon Ochoa, just to name a few. The success of that 2002 season, however, might have gone to his head just a little bit as my guest had a transfer to Iowa Central Community College. However, after only one school year with the Tritons, Solomon returned to Iowa City to rejoin the football team. Upon his return for his junior season in 2004, he caught 58 passes for 905 yards and 6 touchdowns and followed that up with in 2005 with 46 receptions for 800 yards and 7 touchdowns. He currently sits at number 7 on Iowa's career receiving list, catching 118 passes for 1,864 yards and 14 touchdowns. The story of Clinton Solomon, from the outside looking in, is one of ultimate highs, winning 2 Big Ten championships, some struggles, as most of us do in those college years, but most importantly, perseverance and finding himself. So let's welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, Hawkeye legend Clinton Solomon.
Hey, thank you, BC. Nice to see you. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for joining the show, Clinton, man. How's everything going right now?
Man, I'm blessed. I'm loving life. I can't complain at the age of 37. I'm just here to be, you know, contribute to my boys, man.
No question. So, Clint, let's talk a little bit about the experience of joining Iowa football, man. Let's talk about the recruiting process coming out of Fort Worth, Texas, and what played the role into you deciding on going to the University of Iowa?
Man, well, first off, thanks for having me again. And then to jump into that, man, my recruiting process started with Coach Akins. I'm pretty sure you know a lot about him. He's a position coach. Akins came to Fort Worth and just, you know, brought me. I was in my class. I remember this like yesterday. I was in my Coach Pruitt class. It's economics. And I got a letter, a note saying you need to go down to the office, to the football office. So I went down there, seen this short, dark, black-skinned guy, Mr. Ron Akins, and didn't see this little bird on his shirt, all-black polo shirt with a golden hawk on there. And I didn't know what the school was or where they was or what it was about. But I had recently just verbal committed to Sam Houston State in Huntsville, Texas, because they were going to let me play quarterback. So I was, you know, all in with those guys. Iowa had just played Texas Tech. Crazy thing about that, Texas Tech was recruiting at the same time for me to play safety and run track. So I really didn't want to play defense. So when Iowa came, he talked to my coach, and he was telling him that, you know, he heard about this athlete in Fort Worth, and he was looking for an athlete to, you know, to come to Iowa. So, long story short, they came in. We talked. He met my mom that night, talked to my mom. And then the weekend or two later, I was on a flight to Iowa City. got on a plane, looked down, I seen all white when I was about to land. I didn't know what, I didn't know what I got myself into, man. I'm like, what is this, you know? Yeah. So it was cold, snowing, and I was in Iowa City. But the love, the respect, the welcomeness, the whole family-oriented thing that Akins brought, and then that Coach Ferentz brought, and the rest of the staff with Coach Herb. And, I met O'Keefe because I was a quarterback, so I was thinking that I was going to be in his office a lot. So we sat down and talked a lot. And me and him got, you know, we had a good conversation. And I went out that night with Bob and those guys, met some of the players, met Mo Brown for the first time. I thought amazing things about him. And then it just went from there. I woke up that next morning and I was like, man, what am I thinking about? I'm in the Big Ten, national televised, team is winning. And they were straight. That was going from Reebok to Nike. That was big for me. That was big. I'm not going in front because I wasn't a Reebok kid. I was a Nike kid. And when they told me they were going to Nike the following year, that put the icing on the cake. So I went to Coach Ferentz's house that morning, that Sunday morning. We had breakfast, and I committed. I verbal committed, and then I signed my letter of intent not too long after that.
Mm. Okay. So when it came to... It seemed, I think everybody, when it comes to from a place from the south and coming up to a place like Iowa City, it's a little bit of a shock when you get to,
yes, sir,
and you see that snow for the first time, or you know, you're getting around that environment. But the welcoming of the people there definitely offsets some of those, you know, those angst or those, you know, those, some of those feelings of being nervous, because the people are just really. Some homely people, man. So tell us a little bit about your experience in Iowa City and being a part of the program, and how that kind of translated into, you know, transitioning from being in Fort Worth, Texas, to being a part of a program, like you said, that had been winning and had some success, especially going into that 2002 season.
The experience, man, it was great. Coming from the South, you know, I was raised around a lot of African-Americans. Going to Iowa, it was a big difference as far as, you know, culture, as far as, you know, religion. As far as the culture and just people being around. But at the same time, everybody's the same. We all human beings. They treat me with respect. On campus, the people around, friendly, you know, respectable people. It made it a lot better that I was a Hawkeye. Yeah, football player, and, you know, people loved you even more just because of that. But at the same time, they gave me a chance to show them who I was and as a person, so they welcomed me just by me being who I am. But, you know, the experience taught me a lot, just getting away from my mom, the responsibility of having to be up, take care of yourself, just being a grown man. You know, Iowa showed me all that. You guys, Big C, yourself, Mo, CJ, Brad, you know, you guys made it easy for me too, coming from the South and coming up there, because you guys are already there. So you guys are showing the younger guys like myself and Jason and CD, you know, the ropes. And it made it so much easier just following you guys' footsteps, because y'all already set a good vision, good teaching method for us to follow. So my process at Iowa as a freshman was easy, but as you said, I kind of let my whole being a part of that great team in 02 go to my head, seeing myself on TV. So I got away from the importance of it, which was academics. And that's how it started for me.
So you talk about that, and like I've mentioned before, I think everybody has some sort of hardships that they deal with when it comes to finding themselves going off to college. You know, there's difficulties in every aspect of it. You know, for me, I can honestly say my first semester, I struggled in, just like you mentioned, it's a completely different environment. You know, it's a huge, huge culture shock my freshman year, coming from South Florida, where predominantly African-American, black, even myself being a native of Jamaica, and there are a lot of islanders down in the Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. To have that environment and then go to a place like Iowa City, where there's, to say that we're a minority was an understatement, but to have the relationships of our football brothers, as well as, you know, various mentors within and around the program, really helped facilitate the opportunity to be able to, you know, stay in that environment, because it was a struggle. So considering that you come into an environment where, and the other thing about our environment was, you know, we were losing. I was a part of a team where we were 1-9, 1-10 in 1999. So it was even that much more difficult, and I was ready to leave, you know, because it was just that hard of a situation. But for you coming into a situation like that in 2002, where we had so much success and you had those struggles, man, what was that like for you in terms of that and having to kind of go in and find yourself again? You know, take us down that road of what that experience was like and how that motivated you to go out throughout the rest of your career.
Man, so the day what was I doing? I was staying in those apartments in the summertime. I can't think of the name of the apartment we all stayed. The Pheasant Ridge. There you go. I was staying with my I was staying in your, matter of fact, I stayed in your old apartment. I sure did, because you was getting ready for the league. You was getting ready to get off and go do your thing, and I was staying in your other apartment. Mo had took your room, and I took my room, and Jamel had the back room, so we was all staying there together. But, man, that experience, Colin, man, it was one of the worst things I ever went through in my life. I still think about it to this day. I feel like it had a lot to do with my future. It was summertime. I was on academic probation. I thought I did great in the spring semester, but I didn't reach the goal that I was supposed to reach to maintain my academic eligibility at Iowa. So summertime came. They told me to stick around. I stuck around. I got a letter in the mail saying that, you know, I've been on academic probation and I was looking at suspension for a year of school. Well, I had the opportunity to go to summer school. I had to get a 3.2 to stay in, and I ended up getting a 2.9 that semester, that summer, 2.9 or 3.0, and I needed an A in this one class, and I ended up getting a B. And I tried to do everything I could to, you know, make up the work, but that professor there, I can't think of his name to this day, but he taught me a lesson that you only get so many opportunities. He already gave me one. I had one opportunity when I first picked the class to do the work. Then they gave me a second opportunity to do it again, to do better, but I didn't do as great as I should have. So he wasn't going to give me a third opportunity to bring that grade up to an A. A couple of weeks later, I got a letter and a phone call saying I was ineligible to come back for my sophomore year. I think the worst part of that process was making that phone call. I'm getting choked up thinking about it. Making that phone call to my mom and my grandma. I had made them a promise before I left Texas that I wasn't going down there just to be an athlete, man. I was going to be more than that. No one in my family has graduated from college, so that was something big for me. Excuse me. And then, you know, listen to them cry, listen to them be hurt. It was one of the most disappointing things for me to this day still. It bothers me. It makes me feel bad.
I think, bro, the biggest thing about it, though, is that you didn't let that define you, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it makes you a stronger person. By me being able to sit back and think about things, I didn't want to go back home. I told Coach Herb, I do not want to go back to Texas. I do not want to be in Texas, because if I go back to Texas, I'm going to get lost and I'm going to lose focus on what the main, you know, goal is. So they sent me to Iowa Central Community College in Fort Dodge, Iowa, and let me making a bus ride. I had went home. Back in Texas before I went to Fort Dodge. And instead of my mom flying me, she said my punishment was to make a bus ride. Mm. And man, you talking about a bus ride from Fort Worth to Fort Dodge? Mm. Yeah, that wasn't fun at all. So when I got there, I met the coaches, got everything, and I seen where I came from Iowa City to Fort Dodge, and I seen the drop off from D1 to JUCO, and I was like, yo, I got to get back to where I was. And the only way I can do that is by showing people that I can do the work, college work. Mm-hmm. So I did my thing on the football field. I was All-American. We ended up ranking number 3 in the country. But the main thing was my grades. Like I had a 3.0 the first semester, and then the second semester I got a 3.5. And then I was back at Iowa. I had other schools recruiting me, but I knew I didn't want to go nowhere else. I had some started at Iowa, so I wanted to go finish what I started. And Coach Erb was like, that was my dog, man. Like, he was real. He's made the main reasons that I went back to Iowa. Mm-hmm. We stayed in contact throughout the process, and instead of me going to K-State or Iowa State, or I was either going to commit to Arizona, because mm-hmm. Stoops had just went there. Mm-hmm. So I decided to come back, and, man, it was probably the best decision I made by coming back, because mm-hmm. I took advantage of that, and my grades never slipped again. Never again.
Well, you know, I think that without that motivation, sometimes we lose ourselves and lose what really pushes us. And it's unfortunate. It's tough to have to make those phone calls, I'm sure. But again, you know, that's kind of what makes us who we are and puts us, going through some of those difficulties, man, makes us who we are. So you have those... You have that experience happen to you, going up to Fort Dodge, a little bit of drop off in facilities possibly, and level possibly.
Yeah.
And then you get your chance to step back onto the field in Iowa City, step back on Kinnick Field, man. What was that like, and what was it like to kind of get that opportunity as kind of your rebirth, so to speak?
Man, it was a blessing. It was more than a blessing to me. It was like another breath of life. Because I had made a lot of promises to my grandma, my mom, my grandfather. And letting those people down was hard. But getting back to that point where I was one of the most gratifying moments for them. And, you know, they were so happy for me that I actually got back to where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And then getting back into Iowa City, I'm not just saying it, just the smell of the city, bro. Like, I don't know, it's just different. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Iowa City is different. You know, Coralville, all that, just the whole, just everything. I was like, yo, I'm back. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And my first game in Kenny, I want to say we played Kent State, I think. But we wore the throwback jerseys, the old school back in the day jerseys, and man, we was looking good, feeling good, and Coach Irv and them gave me number 88. They were like, you don't get to pick your number, we're gonna give you a number. So I'm like, shoot, I'm gonna make these eights look good, you know what I'm saying? So I went out there with number 88 on, and yeah, that's when we had Drew Tate. Drew was a great quarterback. After Chandler came Drew. And man, it's from this first snap, the first play I got in the game, because I didn't start my junior. Not one game I started. And the first play I got in was a run play, I remember, I think, to Albert. And I made a block, but I was like, I'm here. My mom's in the stands. My granny's in the stands. I'm here. I'm back. And that was just like the most warm feeling inside. And I just took off from there. I didn't look back. My junior year was a great year. And it was amazing just being back, being able to, you know, go against Greenway. That was my workout partner, go against him every day in the gym. You know how we work out with Coach Doyle, mm-hmm. Just doing those type of things, man. Just being back in there, the early morning workouts, just the camaraderie between me, Jovan, and Mark, and them, my roommates. Mm-hmm. It was just, man, a blessing. It was a blessing.
So I can't imagine that feeling of exuberance, of excitement, being back in the field, and being back in that environment that you are so, you know, that you are accustomed to being a part of. Man, take us back to, I mean, you talk a little bit about Kent State and just being back on the field, man, but take us back to some of those games. Maybe one specific, or take us back, just going back on the field. Take us back, man.
Man, that junior season was a crazy one. That year was we beat Ohio State pretty good that day, and I'll never forget that week leading up to Ohio State, because remind you, I didn't get to play against them my sophomore year, the year before. Mm-hmm. Mo Brown, them senior. So it was an ABC game, and Coach Herb and the whole, you know, you know how it is when you feel to play a big game around the locker room. Yep. How we got the bulletin board up and yep. all these quotes and everything, and how serious things are. So I'm riding with Jovan and Marcus. Jovan had this Oldsmobile, white Oldsmobile. And we was leaving the study hall, because we already had practice, and we leaving study hall going to the house. And we lived in Coralville, some farmers in Coralville. And I remember driving past Carver Arena, going down that hill and going to the light. And I said, man, I'm going to go off on these boys tomorrow. They both look back at the light. They both look back at me and said, boy, do you know we playing against? I said, I don't care who we playing. And we were playing Ohio State. I know about Ohio State, but at this time, Big C, I'm gonna be real with you. I was still young minded to college football. I wasn't really experienced where I knew about all these college teams and all this great tradition. The only team I watched growing up was Michigan, the University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a Wolverine so bad, and that was because of Tyrone Wheatley. Why? I have no idea. But I didn't really know about Ohio State like that. You know, I knew they had great players and all this stuff. So they had John Sally, they had Carpenter, they had Fox, they had all these big names. So they coming to Kinnick, they supposed to blow us out. Man, I scored one touchdown in the first quarter, and that was all I needed to get my confidence up. We beat them badly. We beat them like maybe 30-something to 6 or something that day. I don't remember. But I had a great game where I had like 8 catches, 156 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And after the game, I went up to Jovo and the Marcus. They just looked at me and smiled like, you said you was going to do it? I said, I told y'all. And from that point on, man, that season went so well for me, because I had, maybe 3 or 4 games over 100 yards. Multiple games were 2 or more touchdowns. I remember another game we played Wisconsin for the championship, to split the championship. And they had, what was the D lineman name? Haynesworth, I think. I don't remember this guy's name, but he was supposed to be a stud. And they came to Kinnick that night. It was a night game, and we dominated them that game. Won a Big Ten championship, but another big game for myself. I think I had like maybe 80 yards, 90 yards with 2 touchdowns. Another big touchdown before the half. So, you know, just being out there for those moments. We lost to Iowa State that year. I didn't bring up that game because we did lose to them. But it was just being in that atmosphere of that rival game. We know how that is. Mm-hmm. And then that year we went to the bowl. We played LSU. Mm-hmm. And that was a historical moment for us in Kinnick. I jumped the game off with a 56-yard slant touchdown on Corey Webster. I remember that. caught one on my dog. That was my boy, Corey Goodie. Corey's here in Dallas, where I talked to him not maybe a couple of months ago, or some people who was representing him. But we brought up that moment, and he still remembers that. I joke about it with Big Kenneth Spears. Big Spears from LSU.
Yeah, Marcus.
Be on the talk show. Yeah, Marcus. I said, Kenneth, Marcus. Yep. I joked with him on Twitter about it, and he actually responded to me about it. And he's like, yeah, I remember that game like it was yesterday. So, man, just those moments talking and, you know, laughing. But being a part of that game was crazy. That was Nick Saban's last collegiate game, because he went to the Dolphins that following year. Mm-hmm. They had Joseph, Adai, Randall. They had great players, really. Yep. For us to come out the way we won that game was so amazing. But the person that scored the touchdown, Warren Holloway, He deserved every moment of that. I was so happy for him more than I was happy for myself or for the team, because Warren been there for years. He worked hard. You know, Big C, he worked harder than anybody. And for him to have that moment, that shine, that glory, I felt like it was all worth that hard work he put in. you know, just for that one moment, because he became a Hawkeye legend yeah. off of that catch, and it's well deserving. So being a part of moments like that, man, was great. Actually seeing Drew Tate win a game on a Hail Mary was great. That whole year was like a whole blessing, like a kid on Christmas Day for me, because not only did I come back to Iowa, but I came back to Iowa, got my grades right. Got my grades right, won a Big Ten championship, beat LSU in a bowl game. And then I was ranked, I got all Big Ten honors, all American. Just that whole year was just great, man. 05 was one of the best years of my career. So being back in Kinnick, being back in that Hawkeye uniforms, running at 88, all that just, it was just a blessing. It was happiness. I got my rings. I got all my rings still. I got my watches. I got all my bowl gifts, almost every one of them. So that, man, you don't understand, bro. I was just showing somebody when I was looking at the Hawkeye great thing, and you did CJ. Mm-hmm. I seen the last play, his kick return against USC.
Yep.
And lo and behold, I see this 19-year-old Clint Solomon always trying to get on TV, sitting right next to CJ, because you know the camera's going to be on him, so yeah. You get to TV time. Hey. Oh, man, I was in there looking at that. I'm sitting there laughing. I was with my oldest son at the time, and I was showing him, like, look at your daddy. When he's like, daddy, that's you. I said, yeah. The first thing he going to say is, daddy, why your hair like that? I said, Lord Jesus. My mama said the same thing. I'm on national TV with an afro, man. So just those moments, man, just being a part of things like that, it was so blessed to be back in Kinnick and being able to do the things I did that year, my junior year. So it was fun. I relive it all the time, and I think about it a lot. I tell people about my journey coming back to Iowa. I always tell people how I left Iowa. I don't have no shame telling people that, or telling students that, because like you said, it's a story that I can tell, and I hope it can help a lot of kids out.
No question. I mean, you are already a testament to that. I mean,
yeah,
to
yeah.
have gone through those things, lived them, and to be able to lean on those experiences. I mean, there's no better way of being able to translate that to these young folks, man. So
yeah.
My hat's off to you for that. Speaking of that 2004 LSU Tiger team, man, you guys won that last second Hail Mary to Warren Holloway. That LSU Tiger team had first rounders Joseph Addai, Dwayne Bowe, a young Jamarcus Russell, who would be the number one overall pick. Corey yeah. Webster, like you talked about. Marcus Spears, like you talked about. So, I mean, they were loaded. They had a lot of NFL talent. And you guys pulled that one off. But it was a back-and-forth battle, man. That was a battle.
It was.
That was a battle. It was. But that's one of the best games in Hawkeye history for sure, man. So, you talked a lot about those experiences, man, and how what it was like to really have those experiences on the field. Let's talk a little bit about who you felt like was a mentor for you throughout this process. Who was there for you? Who was a person that you kind of leaned on? And I think I can kind of answer that with Coach being that person.
I was just about to say that myself. I'm pretty sure you know who that guy was.
I would say even your teammates that you kind of utilized throughout that time, and kind of those relationships that you even have to this day.
Man, I mean, like, it's easy. Mo Brown. I know it's crazy to say, but Mo is like my go-to for everything, man, especially when he was at the school. And then even when he left, Mo came and he stayed in contact with me. To this day, we still talk on social media. When I go to Florida, I try to reach out and see him, you know. So Mo is like my big brother, like he is to this day. I know Mo had his history and his things at Iowa that wasn't, you know, role model expectation is, but he learned from his mistakes, and he taught me how to stay away from things like that. You know, he told me to look at his story, look at his, you know, downfall, so I won't have to go and do those type of things. Mm-hmm. Another guy was CJ Jones. Both of them were receivers, both of them Florida boys, both of them boys was tight. But being in that room with them and having them, you know, take me under their wing outside of the football locker room, showing me the ropes as far as how to do things in the public eye. You know what I'm saying? Even though they made mistakes, they showed me how not to make those mistakes. And then, believe it or not, all my Florida boys that was there at that time, I looked up to all y'all, from Mo, CJ, to you, to Brad Banks. I looked up to you guys, like, because I always committed to you guys as an athlete, but also how y'all conduct yourself off the field. Brad was so smooth about everything, but he was quiet. You really didn't see Brad much, you know what I'm saying? He stayed in the back, but he took care of his business. You were a outspoken guy as far as just your play and then your presence in a room, just because you Big C, but everybody don't know that Big C was a good person as far as off the field. He going to show you the right things. He going to teach you how to do things. He going to give you knowledge that you need. I wasn't around you as much, but knowing Kenny, you know Kenny, him dealing, you know, talking to him from Arlington, being around him a lot, he told me you was a big influence to him. You know what I'm saying? So those y'all guys, Mo Brown was the big guy for me, and I looked up to him, and he showed me a lot of things. Even though Coach Herb and them tried to tell me to stay away, and, you know, I knew that. But it was just something about Mo that I latched on to and that I was able to grow from. And, you know, I had my mistakes too, but I learned a lot from that guy. And I appreciate everything he showed me and everything you showed me from a distance. Even though you may not have known I was paying attention, I was. A lot of us young guys, we watch you, we watch D-Rob, we watch a lot of you D-Linemen because Babineau, even Lukey, tired of Lukey. I even watched Big Boy because it was just the fact of y'all was such a tight-knit group, but on the field, but even off the field, I just like the way y'all conduct yourself. So, man, I learned a lot from all you guys that year, but Mo was my biggest influence, my biggest big brother that I paid attention to.
No doubt, man. And, you know, I think it definitely speaks to what mentorship matters and how much the brotherhood matters to really raising and being able to, you know, instill some of those values into the younger players. So those older players are huge mentors across the board. And in every school, in every football environment, the older players always hold that role of mentorship. So it's good to know that I could definitely play a role in that along with those men that you mentioned. So let's talk a little bit before we go. Got one or two things and we're going to wrap it up, man. When you talk about Iowa City, man, if you talked about when you get back there, the feel of it, the smell of it, all that kind of stuff, what's one of your favorite places when you do get a chance to get back to Iowa City?
Oh, man. When I did go back to Iowa City, of course, I visit Clinton Street, the main street downtown. You know, I walk the Ped Mall and all that. But it's just the whole area of the college, the campus, bro. It's just I really didn't have no favorite one spot. But it was, if I had to say, the one place I did go back to was the student hall where we sat and ate at. I walked around there. But just being in Iowa City or being on the campus of Iowa, period, just being able to go back and see a lot of things. I even went by the sociology building that gave me the 4-hour elf that got me in trouble. It was just a whole – I even walked back by that mud when I was there, man, just to see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is where it all went down from. So.
It went downhill from here.
Yeah, it went downhill from there, taking a 4-hour sociology class as a freshman. You know what I'm saying?
That's a tough one. Yeah,
I didn't know what I was getting myself into, man. But long story short, man, just visiting Iowa City, the campus period, going back to the locker room, seeing what an amazing job they did rebuilding that thing. Mm-hmm. That whole new atmosphere at Iowa City is crazy.
Yeah, it
is. Like, seeing Kinnick now, being inside of there when they finally built that. The one thing that I wish that we had and was a part of, and I'm not just saying this because I didn't know I loved kids until I got to Iowa. Iowa taught me that too. I was a special ed teacher after football. Well, while I was playing football, I became a special ed teacher. I've been doing that for 8 years.
Wow.
And I never knew I had the patience or I loved kids as much as I loved football until I got to Iowa. Mm. And that was because we did those hospital visits. being around those kids when they came to play with us, even being around Coach Herb kids, little Jake, and now he's a grown-ass man now, but being around Jake now, you know what I'm saying? So I became a special ed teacher. I became a mentor in Kansas. I started a group called Boys and Men, mainly lower-income kids, Mexican kids, Hispanic kids that didn't have nothing. And I enjoyed every single one of those moments. I was a special ed teacher at Cloud Elementary in Kansas. I taught pre-K, pre-K all the way up to fifth grade. Wow. And I did that for 4 years in Kansas. Then I came to Texas and I did it at Lake Ridge High School in Mansfield. But those were one of the things that I got from Iowa that I brought into my life now. I didn't know how good I was with kids. So Iowa City brought, Iowa put that into me that I never knew about. So just going back to Iowa, looking and thinking about those things, man, it's just crazy, for real.
Yeah, there's no question. And but, I mean,
go ahead.
No, no, no.
I meant to say, what I was saying that for is the Hawkeye wave, that's what I wish we had when we was there. That right there is like one of the most amazing things to see those players wave at those kids in the hospital during the game. So that's what I was saying that to say that I wish we could have been a part of something like that. Even though we did our dues when it comes to kids, but just seeing them being able to wave at those people during the game, that's special, bro. Yes. Like, I like that. I really do.
No question. No question. And, I mean, for years, we would see that crane sit over there by the hospital. For years, there would be a flag hanging from it. There'd be somebody up in the top of that thing, and they finally got that thing built. And to see what the tradition that has arisen from that simple thing and the gesture that builds for those. For those kids and those parents, and you know, having the opportunity to go over to the hospital, having the opportunity to be a part of a sport where so many young people want to just be on the field and say Make-A-Wish kids, you know, that they get a chance to actually get to the field, that those that are actually healthy enough to travel to go to a field, you know, having the opportunity to see some of these young people and see some of these parents that have to obviously live with these young people day in and day out. I mean, we get to see them and come in contact with them for 10, 15 minutes, but these people are living these lives with their kids and daily for, you know, and so it's difficult, but for us to be able to just interact with them for just a small period of time means so much to them, but it affects us too. And like you said, it affected you so much to the point where you got into that line of work and got into the special education. And that goes without saying how important that work is, man. So, man, I don't even know where else we can go from there. I mean, that's pretty much the best way to end this show right here, man. I mean, I don't know tell me what else you would like to talk about. Because that's
man, amazing. I don't know. I guess I can question, give you a couple of questions. I got a question too. What made you want to do this? What made you start the whole great podcast? You know,
So the main thing for starting Legends of Kennett podcast is we have so many of us that have had our experiences, and you know, I talked to so many guys that have really left their mark on the program, and just knowing that, you know, we have so many unique stories, even though we all came from the same program and have come through that program at various times, we all have so many unique stories that I just really wanted to bring to light. And I think that there's some fans out there, and even more importantly, fellow Hawkeyes, you know, past and future Hawkeyes that can listen to this, and even just football players as a whole that can just listen to this and you know, get some insight to what guys kind of deal with on a personal level, you know, because I think that, you know, it gets lost in the shuffle when it comes to really getting to know people, when it comes to obviously what you see on TV. We as football players, we don't have the luxury of people getting to know us as much because we're not as recognizable because we're behind face masks, you know, more times than not, as opposed to basketball, golf, you know, tennis, all these other mainstream sports. So the best way for us to get, or for our fans and for our audience to get to know us, is to listen to us or have sit-down conversations. And that's what this is a sit-down conversation so that our fans and our friends and people who really just want to know who we are get an opportunity to hear from us. And that's why I started it. But more importantly, for our brothers to be able to have a voice, man, because it's really a opportunity for us to enjoy, you know, some of the things that we've done over the years, man. I mean, for me, it's almost 20 years since I left Iowa City, man. But at the same time, I think about it like it was yesterday. And I couldn't, when we were younger, we used to hear stuff like that from adults, but yeah, you know, it didn't really register. You know what I'm saying? It didn't really register that, man. What are you talking about? That's a long time. But no, it really is not that long ago.
It wasn't.
Really not that long ago. So to just have this time to you know, think about some of those old times with guys like yourself, guys who have left their iconic mark on the program. And, you know, a story like yours, Clint, man, you know, I would say that there are a number of young people that go through this, both male and female, that go through this on various aspects, right? But not everybody has the fortitude to be able to bounce back and be able to, you know, find themselves and find a way to get back to where they were. You know, a lot of people kind of accept defeat and don't try. They kind of tuck their tails between their legs and just go back to their comforts and go back to what was comfortable for them. But I got to commend you, man. You know, you stepped up to the plate. You know, you made that promise to your grandmother and your mom, and you say, you know what? I'm going to finish what I started. And you did exactly that. And not only did you do that, man, you did it with flying colors, man. So that's why you are a legend of Kinnick, and that's why I had to have you on here. And that's why this show is so important to me, is to really bring about conversations with these guys that so many people just want to know what have they been doing since they left.
Yeah,
man.
Respect. No, I appreciate it, man. So I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I'm watching from a distance in Texas. I'm looking on Facebook. I'm watching the stories from Sting to Pasca to Hill to all them boys, man. I'm watching. I commend you. Keep going. I'm looking forward to the next episode, whoever you're doing next. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate the call. I appreciate you inviting me to this show. At the end of the day, man, like I said, the only thing I'm doing is just being a father to my two boys, Kingston and Legend. Loving my everyday life at 37. Probably this is my last year playing football. But give it one more go around. I done won me 3 arena championships and trying to get 4 of them so I can be done.
So if you don't get 4 this year, you going to come back for 4 next year?
So this is the thing. And I told my kid, you know what, Big C, that's the craziest thing. Man, I talked to my pops. My dad's incarcerated. He's been in jail since I was in college. We talked. I did a whole story about that. But anyway, I talked to him. I was like, Pops, when should I be done? He's like, listen, this game is not promised to everybody. Everybody don't get to play this game. So you play this game as long as your body can handle it, you play it. When your body can't take it no more, you stop. And he said, but just know that this game is not long, and you play it as long as you can. So at 37, I'm still able to run, catch the ball. I'm still able to protect myself. I'm still in great shape. But I want to walk away with all my limbs. So if I don't win that 4th one, and if this team, we're supposed to go back to this league called the IFL, and that's where I made my name at, in this arena game. not to toot my own horn, your boy walking Hall of Famer, man. I got all kinds of records, you know what I'm saying? So I want to go back to your own horn, brother.
What you doing? Yeah, not man. To teach it. Toot it, bro. Toot it. Let me hear it.
Yeah, man. I want to go back to how I feel. I used to have 4 to 5 records for receivers. I still on the touchdown and catching record. I broke that in 09. To this day, I still have it. Well, one of the guys broke my yards by 150, and he still has it. So I kind of want to go back and get that back. So I want my name to be on everything. But other than that, man, I'm probably going to call it a day. My son's 6, Kingston 6, Legend's about to be 2. And I just want to put all my time in them two boys.
Oh, for real. Boy, that competitive edge, that competitive nature never leaves, does it?
It never leaves.
I was 150 yards. I got to come back for that right
there. I got to come back and get it. I got to put some yardage on that thing, man.
All the respect due in the world to you for that, my man. Well, on that note, man, I think we're going to go ahead and end the show, brother. You are off the hot seat. Clinton Solomon, I appreciate you joining the show today, man. It's been an honor and a pleasure having you on to share with us your experiences as a Hawkeye and beyond, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Big C.
Absolutely, man. And with that, I'll say thanks, everybody, for joining us, and go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Legends of Kinnick. You can stream or download the show on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, among others. I'm Colin Cole. Go follow Legends of Kinnick on all social media platforms. Take care, and go Hawks.